the most important, the first aspect of time, the first principle of time, is to seek Him early. Take time to be holy means you take time first thing to be holy before God. If you don't seek Him first thing, at what point do you seek Him? If you're not seeking Him first thing, He is not first in your life. Because there's a period of time that goes by without you seeking Him. There's no other way around that. You must seek Him first thing in the morning. If you're not a morning person, that's fine. When you wake up, seek Him. Right? There's no, Scripture doesn't say necessarily when your day has to begin, although I think seeking Him, or the psalmist does speak about seeking Him before the rising of the sun. And I think that's a good rule of thumb. But I know, but they can fit any kind of schedule. When you wake up, you seek Him. If you don't have time to seek Him when you wake up, you have a problem. And that's the problem you need to fix. Right? Early will I seek Him. Seek Him early. How are you to seek Him? Well, we seek Him in prayer and His Word. Prayer and the Word. Matthew 6:6. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to the Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetition like the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things that you have need before you ask. In this manner, pray, therefore, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. You are holy. You are righteous. You are sanctified. You are the Holy One. We are to set your name apart as distinct and holy. Your character, your righteousness. The focus of our prayer is to exalt the holiness, the righteousness, the hallowedness of God. And that's to be done in secret. Early will I seek Him. Before the face of God. Alone before God. Seeking His character and reign first. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's a wrestling with my will, that I submit my will. Not my will be done, but your will be done. The focus of my day is to do your will. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our Father, we pray, your will be done. First thing first, we seek Him, His character, His righteousness, His holiness, His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. We don't go after and seek the things that the Gentiles seek. We seek the things that we need from God. Give us this day our daily bread, so that all seeking comes only in and through God. He knows you have need of these things. If we're not seeking God first, we're not seeking God first because we're not putting God first. We don't put God first because we don't believe God is first. What you seek early is what you believe is first. Well, I'm too busy to seek God. How many people say that? I'm too busy to seek God. Then you know what? Then you put yourself over God. What's the purpose of time? The purpose of time is the measure of your life. What you do with your time reveals where your priorities are. And if there's a problem with time, there's an idolatry problem fundamentally. Seek first the kingdom of God. Early will I seek Him. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. God includes it in the Lord's Prayer, in the disciples' prayer. We're to deal with daily bread. But if that's the pressing thing on our mind, you seek the thing the Gentiles seek. And that's not putting Him first. Rather, we seek Him first. I love the order of the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Deal with sin. Forgive others, as you've been forgiven. I've been forgiven much, so you're going to forgive others much. You can't hold on to bitterness. You can't hold on to self-righteousness. You can't hold on to pride and hurt. You're going to forgive others. Why? Because God has forgiven you. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Satan has a plan for your day. To destroy. To kill. We seek first, Lord God, keep us from temptation. Make me aware of the temptations of this day. Lord, I don't know what this day holds, but You hold this day. I submit my will to Your will. We have a plan. It's to do Your will. And we have an idea of what that will be as we seek Him. But we hold it with an open hand. Your kingdom come, Your will be done. Keep me from temptation. I know Satan desires to sift us like wheat. We are dependent upon Your grace and Your mercy to keep us from temptation, for Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. This is how we start our day, with prayer. And what better prayer is there than an example given from the Lord's Prayer? And we do that alone. There's time to pray alone, in secret, where no one's looking. We're just the eyes of the Lord and Your eyes meet. Just the two of you. And in prayer and Bible study, there's not a dichotomy. You're in the Word to pray, and you're praying in the Word. They go back and forth. Jesus said, if My words abide in you and you abide in Me, ask whatever you wish and it will be given unto you. So I study my Bible so that I can pray, and I pray so that I can study my Bible. And they're fluid, as directed by the Holy Spirit. So you need it, but there's a specific thing in the morning. When you seek Him, you need to be in the Word, because you need to be in the Word enough so that there's enough Word in you to meditate on the Word all day long. And you start that early in the morning. Now, if you may choose to do your heavier Bible study at different times. You have to get up at 3 in the morning, right? You got to make it work. But these principles are from the Scriptures. You got to make these principles in your life. So, you know your schedule, but you get the heart of this here. Psalm 1 is a great example for what we need to have in our study in the Word. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, in which law he meditates day and night. So he has a strong emotional desire, delighting in the Torah of Yahweh, the law of the Lord. So he's in the Word, meditating on it day and night. Day and night, and night and day. So when you wake up, you're meditating on the Word. When you're sleeping, you're meditating on the Word. You're dreaming about the Word. You don't want to have vain dreams. I pray when I go to bed that my dreams would be of the Lord. And the more I'm thinking about God, the more I'm meditating on His Word, the better my dreams are. They can still be weird. They're still dreams. But I love it when I get into some good dreams, some good debates, or some good theology chewing on. And sometimes I sleep so hard I don't remember my dreams. I get that too. But meditate day and night. He shall be like the tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. I need to understand, what is the season I'm going through? What are the seasons of those around me? What is the season of fruit? Whose leaf also shall not wither, but whatever he does shall prosper. Why? Rooted in the rivers of water. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, or sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I do still have dumb dreams. But I want to pray that I have godly dreams and godly meditation day and night. So that's a picture of how early will I seek Him. Martin Luther prayed for 3 or 4 hours every morning. And the more pressure that was on him, the more he needed to pray. And that's a godly principle. The more pressure you have on you, the more responsibility you have, the more you must be praying. Otherwise, all will be undone. And again, praying in the Word, being together on these things. I remember when there was a time in my life, I committed to the Lord. I'm going to pray 5 minutes first thing in the morning. And that was a big commitment for me. I went up front, I walked the aisle back then. And that showed it. But it was a commitment of steadiness. And that was a big commitment for me. And God blessed me with that. And now if I prayed for 5 minutes in the morning, I would die. I would fall apart. I couldn't make it. But then that's where I was. So make the commitment to excel in early seeking. Early school, I seek Him. The next principle would be seek Him all day. Proverbs 28:14 says, happy is the man who is always reverent. Blessed is the man who is always reverent. But he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. That reverence is living in the fear of the Lord. a reverential awe for God. Blessed is that man. So you seek him early in the morning, but then you get irreverent in your day. You lose the fear of the Lord. Psalm 25:5 is a great verse. It says, "Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day." So my hope is in him. My faith is in him. And I'm waiting for God all the day. Being reverent all the day. All the day long. So the foundation is set for my day in the morning, and I'm building on that foundation all the day in meditating on the Word and thinking of the Word and praising God all the day long. Psalm 35:27. "Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause, and let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall speak of your righteousness and your praise all the day long." So we have two time focuses there. Let them say continually, "Let the Lord be magnified," and your praise all the day long. All the day. So I want to be praising the Lord all the day in my meditation, in my heart, with my lips, as I wait for his salvation. As I seek first the kingdom of God and that outworking of the righteousness of Christ into everything that God calls my hand to, I'm seeking, I'm thinking on him, I'm meditating on him, I'm praying to him, and I'm sinning, and I'm confessing my sins, and I'm seeking him, and I'm meditating on him all the day long. Psalm 71, verse 5. "For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. By you I have been upheld from birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall be continually of you. I have become a wonder to many, but you are my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your glory all the day." That's a good prayer, isn't it? So you start your morning all day long. "Let my mouth be filled with your praise all day long. May I have a heart in meditation on you all day long. May I seek you and praise you. Do not let your heart envy sinners. Be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day." That's a good proverb. That's Proverbs 23:17. Don't let your heart envy the sinners. Don't let your heart desire that you were with the sinners. Don't let your heart wish that you could go and do the things that the sinners do. And when you put in that language, who wants to do what sinners do? Well, think about that now. When you're going all the day and you see your friends, your co-workers, your neighbors doing things that you think would be fun, right? Don't envy them. Rather, be zealous. Be focused. Guard your heart for the reverence of the Lord all the day. For surely there is a hereafter, and your hope will not be cut off. Hear, my son, and be wise, and guide your heart in the way. Guide your heart into this way of understanding. If you begin to get weary in your day, and you forget the praises of God, take time to be holy. If the world begins to press on your mind, Do not let this world conform you. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Romans 12:1-2. The world is pushing you in its mold. What do you need to do? Take time to be holy. Take time to be holy. And everybody says, "I don't have time to be holy." That's what everybody says. You're not saying it now because you're sitting in church. But tomorrow, you would say, "I don't have time." How many would say that tomorrow? How many honest people would say? You won't say that. "Yeah, I will say it. I'll be the first one to say it. I'm walked in. I'm ready to go. I got stuff to do. I'm already behind. Right? How many moms here feel like from the time you wake up, from the time you go to bed, you're behind? Right? That's how it is. I don't have time to be holy. And no matter what stage of life you're in, you're always going to think that way. Because we're all like gerbils on the ball. I mean, even people that, in my estimation, have nothing to do since time pressure. I mean, I know people that have literally have nothing to do. And they're stressed out over time. I'm thinking, really? You want to come to my house for a day? It's not the events around us. It's the heart within us. It really is. Take time to be holy. Do you know how much can be done in 30 seconds of prayer? What was it? Susanna Wesley used to throw her apron over her head, kneel down and pray. Is that the right story? Yeah. Yeah. How many kids does she have? 20? You know? It is a lot. Like 20-something kids? Yeah. You can imagine, right? She threw her apron over her head and nail it down the spot and pray. I could, that would be helpful. Do you know how much you can do in a minute of prayer? You have time to be holy. Now, provided early will I seek Him, meditating on Him all the day long. Go to the bathroom. Right? Take time to be holy. The real issue for many of us is this: no one can serve two masters. Right? We don't have time to be holy because we're serving two masters. And in our culture, as in the first century, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. I can't do that because I have to work. How many don't have time to be holy because they have to work? On your whatever it is. Right? Now, is that legitimate or illegitimate? I'm going to leave you with that question. Because I'm going to build this from the heart. Now, if you don't work, you don't what? Eat. Man has to work. If you don't labor, you don't work, you don't eat. Is the Bible against working? No. Now here's this. Think about this though. If you don't take time to be holy, you will not what? You won't be holy. That's as simple as you can get it. If you don't take time to be holy, you will not be holy. If you're not taking time to be holy, Scripture says, you're not going to see God. Pursue holiness, without which no one will see God. Be holy, for I am holy. Do you have time to be holy? I think God, in His economy, has a balance for you to be holy and to work, no matter where you are, unless you're in an illegitimate situation. Amen? Do you think that's true? No matter what situation you're in, whether you're a male or a female, whether you're a mom or your dad, whether you're self-employed, or whether you're a slave, you can be holy all day long serving your master as a slave. There's nothing inconsistent about that. But you have to take time to be holy. And that starts in your heart. And it starts with the situation where you're in. Slaves, obey your masters. Right? You think that's antithetical to the take time to be holy, to be holiness? No. We have the time. And the arrangement is such that we are not living in that exact arrangement as was in through most earth history. Master-slave relationship. Employer, employee, yeah. Debtors to debt to the banks, yeah. Yeah, so we have those kind of relationships. But we have enough flexibility to take time to be holy. No one can serve two masters. He will either despise the one. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Notice the contrast. He's not saying don't have an economic plan. He's not saying don't think about working hard. He's not thinking not saying about don't consider the seasons as you plant, right? But he's saying, in relation to all these dominion economic things that men must engage in, right? There's something weightier. What is the purpose of your life? What is the meaning of your life? Is it just to get mammon? That's the contrast here. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And the answer is yes. Do you have faith is the issue. Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. There's the issue. It's a matter of faith. Take time to be holy. Be holy as God is holy. You have the time. God will provide. Yes, it involves working hard. We are to be working hard, but we're to be working hard with wisdom. Give us this day our daily bread, because we're already centered on the holiness of God, the otherliness of God, the sustaining grace of God. So everything is in and through God, and that makes sense to God's economy. Oh, you of little faith. Here's the counterbalance. Here's the focus of what you need to be worried about most of all. And that would be, after these things all the Gentiles seek, for your Heavenly Father knows you have need of them, and they come from your Father's hand, so seek Him. Doesn't that make sense? From a biblical perspective, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Take each day, number each day, live each day for the glory of God. Early will I seek Him, all day long, no matter where what your hand is given to do. Do it wholeheartedly as unto the Lord. Wholeheartedly. Seek these things as from the Lord, and take time to be holy. The question that I originally started with is, when you feel your heart drifting from the Lord, stop, drop, and pray. You may just pray for 30 seconds. I'm telling you, one of the biggest differences in my life, and I learned this when I was going to seminary. I had a young family. I was involved in church life. I worked 10 different jobs to provide through seminary at different times. And I carried a full load of study. And as I was going from thing to thing to thing, right, I realized that if I just took 7 minutes and stopped and was still before the Lord, what a difference that made. And I was always running late. But I would take 7 minutes and stop. So as I would finish up seminary class in my early morning studies, and I'm on my way to Brick Lane, I would stop before I got there, and I'd play. Or after I was done working, before I would go home, I'd have a minute at home, and then I'd go to more studies in the evening, I would stop and pray. 7 minutes. It's amazing. With 7 minutes, try it. Stop. Get the Word. Read. Meditate. Pray. Early will I seek Him. All day long I will praise Him. And then you're set up now for your evening. Right? You're set up for the evening. All day long. On my bed, I remember Him. On my bed. Psalm 63, verse 4, thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the watches, in the night watches, because you've been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I'll rejoice. On my bed, I will thank him. I will thank of him. I will thank him. I'll be thankful for him. The key to your morning is the evening. You prepare your morning in the evening. You meditate on it. And I can keep handle that most. Sometimes I lose sight of that. I can't even, after, I just don't know what's next. But as much as we're able to, we're still thankful to God. Thankful for sustaining Him, for sustaining us. It's powerful to meditate on your bed and go through your theology. I mean, what, I don't know. Just try to, you know, do a lot of different things. Thanking of God, meditating on Him, being thankful, right? Walk through your systematic theology before you go to bed. Do a psalm, right? I'm out pretty quick. But nonetheless, right? This is what the psalmist is. It's a lot of different things. Psalm 119 gives a good both and picture to morning and evening. Psalm 119, 147. I rise before the dawning of the morning. That's easy to do now. In the middle of summer, it's a little difficult. That sounds up pretty early. Nonetheless, you get the point. I rise before the dawning of the morning and cry for help. Lord, the daylight's coming. The day is coming. I'm going to be tempted today. There's a lot. There's much kingdom work to do today, right? And it doesn't matter. There's no sacred secular. So it's part of your family life. It's all together, right? So some it's advancing the kingdom through moving gravel or through doing whatever you're doing, right? There's much kingdom work today. Whatever you do, do it wholeheartedly as unto the Lord. I cry for help. There's going to be a temptation point here. Early will I seek Him. I hope in Your Word. Then 148 says, my eyes are awake through the night watches, that I may meditate on Your Word. So I love that Psalm 119, 147, and 148. It goes from morning, before the sun, into the evening, right? From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord shall be praised. 143:5. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your works. I muse on the works of your hand. I spread out my hands to you. My soul longs for you like a thirsty land. Like a thirsty land, I desire you, O Lord. We spread our hands to the Lord. Morning, throughout the day, in the evening, take time to be holy. Israel had a witness of this in their sacrifices. The sacrifices were morning and evening. And so Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 16:40, to offer burnt offerings to the Lord on the altar of burnt offering regularly, morning and evening, and to do according to all that is written in the law of the Lord as He commanded Israel. And so that morning and evening sacrifice, or evening and morning, was a time to reflect upon the goodness of God. And so in 1 Chronicles 23:30, to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise at evening. To stand every morning. So, if they were to do that and give thanks to God for the sacrifices in the morning and in the evening, how much more should we stand and give thanks to God for the Lord Jesus Christ? Morning and evening. They buttress the day, don't they? The rising of the sun, the going down, it's a buttress to the day. Let's buttress our day with praise. Let's order our day as we take time to be holy. Remember, holiness is the otherness of God. We need to be holy. We need to come out from the world and be separate and stop and cease from activity for a moment. Not because of this, not because there's a sacred secular dichotomy, but because we need to touch the holiness of God in a way that enables us to bring it into everything else. And that requires a focus. A focus. Deuteronomy 6, we know the verse. And this could be applied to a lot of activity here. It flows. If there's one verse that is, I mean, it's a paradigm for life. It's a paradigm for ministry, especially in relation to our days. Hear, O Israel, be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, that you may be multiplied greatly, as the Lord your God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These words which I command you shall be in your heart. There's nothing, you will not understand any of this. This is not an outside in, it's an inside out. In your heart. What do you do with that then? Now you're set. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. It's a picture of the total day. All the time, everywhere. The Word of God being communicated out of your lips. That's a pattern of holiness. How are you going to do that? You're going to have to take time to be holy. If you're not taking time to be holy, you're not going to see God. Because without holiness, no one will see God. And this is the practical outworking of justification, which is linked to sanctification. Together. Separate, but together. Evening and morning and at noon, I will pray and cry out, he shall hear my voice. Psalm 55, verse 7. Evening and morning and at noon, I will pray and cry out, and he shall hear my voice. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. Evening, morning, and at noon. Psalm 119 also says 7 times a day, I will praise him. So there's not one specific pattern. But early, all day, specific times. So when I was a construction worker, evening, morning, and at noon was really what I practiced. I have more freedom to order things differently in my day now. But it was very important for me as a construction worker that I took that. Obviously, the morning is the morning. I sought the Lord. Evening was the evening. But what I did in the noontime was I would go if it was freezing cold out, like, you know, freezing in Pennsylvania. 5 degrees out. Well, we couldn't lay brick then. 35 degrees out. And, you know, I'd go in smoke-filled, whatever they were, cabins or... What are they? Asbest? Well, construction workers put up. Trailers. It was trailers. Yeah. You know, the mobile trailers. I'd open the window so the smoke would go. I'd sit by the window, have a little heat and a little air, right? But I have my little New Testament, and I'd read the Proverbs. Oh, I learned so much those days, because I'd have these Proverbs up, and I'd be surrounded by foolish men, just doing all kinds of crazy, foolish things. And I'd sit there and read the Proverbs, and I'd get so much insight. I'm like, yeah, that's like that guy. And yeah, that's like that guy. And look, this is just like Joe over here. He's doing that right now. Right? Morning, evening, and at noon. God was instructing me with His Word. And meditate, meditate, meditate. And if I needed to get away, I would get away and pray. Right? But I'd also be there with the guys somewhat because I'd be witnessing. Right? I was a witnessing to them too. So sometimes I wouldn't. I'd sit in my car a little bit, but then I'd do both. It just depends on where I was at. And if I needed to take time to be holy, I would take time to be holy. Some things would get under my skin. It would just be too much pressure. You know, we would get into stuff all the time. They'd tell their jokes, and some of them would be funny. I would laugh, and some of them I'd say, no. And I'd have to deal with that, right? That's not right. So, take time to be holy. We have the time to do this. Do we have the heart? Do we have the heart? If we have the heart, God will make the time. Guaranteed. Next point. We want to take the time to be holy, and we want everyone to be holy. So take time. What is involved in taking time? Everyone take time. Obviously, how do we start that? It starts with an individual. It starts with you. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Galatians 2:20. We talked about going into your prayer closet alone, shutting the door alone. That only the eyeballs of God are on you and your eyeballs are on Him. There's something to that. Alone with God. But there's also an aspect of a household. So, guiding your household. Men, part of your plan for holiness obviously must be built mainly upon yourself, your own heart. Let this Word be in you. But also, you need to also have a plan for holiness for your household. Men specifically, and parents in general. Fathers as leaders, parents as leaders together over the household. And so you see things in Scripture like, then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household. Genesis 7:1. That's a holy escape. Come, get away from them. You and your household. How about Genesis 18:19? For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him. This is talking to Abraham. Why? That they may keep the way of the Lord and to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. And the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great. So the contrast here is Abraham and his household is called to be holy, and Sodom and Gomorrah is in the contrast. Are you leading your family to holiness? To having them be separate from the world? Genesis 35:2, and Jacob said to his servant and to all who were with him, put away the foreign gods that are among you. Purify yourselves and change your garments. Jacob said this to his household. Put away the foreign gods. And we know that that means for us, in a New Testament context, put away the lust. Repent of the lust. The lust that causes you to worship other things in the name of another God. Put away the lust. Put away the foreign gods. And of course, we have the Sabbath command, which is the pattern, a foundational pattern for work and worship. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. The Sabbath is holy. Worship on the Lord's day is a pattern of come away, be separate. Because God is holy. And you have a responsibility, fathers, parents, for the whole household to engage in that activity. What if my 10-year-old doesn't want to come to church? Bring him. You're responsible. What if my 16-year-old doesn't want to come to church? Bring him. You're responsible. Deal with the conflict. Put away the household idols. What if he refuses? That's a different sermon. Didn't we just cover that? What if my 18-year-old doesn't want to? Didn't we just cover that? What if my 20-year-old doesn't want to? Aren't we covering these things? We know what to do. Do you know what to do? There's some issues there. You speak to him. Is he rejecting the gospel? Is he going after other gods, other lust of his flesh? Then that needs to be dealt with. Fathers, you have the responsibility to deal with that. Maybe we'll do that. Maybe we'll go over that next Sunday as we go and firm up. But we deal with these things. We have responsibilities. There's an individual responsibility that everyone is holy. Now, can you make someone holy? No, they must believe by faith. But there is a household responsibility of fathers to say, this is the direction we're going. Abraham was given this charge. Jacob was giving this charge. Everyone was giving this charge. Fathers were giving this charge of the Sabbath commandment. Deuteronomy 14:26. You shall spend that money for whatever your heart desires, for ox, for sheep, for wine. You shall eat them there before the Lord your God. You shall rejoice, you and your household. So times of festivals, times of getting away to seek the Lord. Special holy days were given for the household. We see this in the New Testament. We see the household baptisms, right? Like Cornelius, Acts 10. Him and his household. We see baptisms, Acts 16. So we see households function in the Old Testament and in the New Testament in terms of responsible stewardship to practical application of holiness. So fathers, you're responsible for your own holiness and you're responsible for the holiness of your household. What's your plan? Most fathers, well, I take my family to church. Okay, what else? Right? Well, family worship. That's important. Family worship. Daily will I seek Him. Let's bring family worship in. What? To worship God. To set this time aside. To worship the Lord. Fathers, lead your families in the worship of God. Parents. Mothers, home education, lead them in the worship of God all the day long. Fathers, your responsibility is to set that that structure there. No matter what your day looks like, you all can be involved in setting a structure, an overarching structure, right? Whether you're in and out, whether you can communicate through whatever, whether you're home, present, or whether you're right? On the other side of town. You're still involved in that. If you're in a different stage of life, let's say your children are grown, right? You're still responsible. You're still responsible to steward your household. Well, you may have a larger household that you're stewarding in a little different perspective, right? But you're still stewarding. There's still now we're getting into patriarchy. There's still a patriarchal responsibility, like Abraham, to make sure that the family is seeking the Lord in holiness and dealing with the conflict that arises that would prohibit that. There's a responsibility there. It's going to look somewhat different. It will look different than when they were 5 and 10 and 16 and now 20 and now 30 in their own households, right? But there's still responsibility. What that looks like is a specific question that won't be addressed in a general sermon. But it's just, it needs to be, there's a responsibility there. Okay? With your wife, all these things. Take time to be holy. Let's talk about the corporate. Ephesians 2:18, the household of God. For through Him we have both access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. And in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God by the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, that takes some time to be holy like that. Why do we gather for so long? It takes time to be holy. Why are your services so long? Because we're unholy. Maybe you're more sanctified than us. You know, a lot of people don't like how long the service is. And I don't think I should preach too long. I want to be sensitive to that. An hour. But you guys aren't, we're not just talking about that. And you eat together, then you talk together, then you fellowship together. And there's commands in Scripture that we're seeking to apply, that were applied on the Lord's Day. And it takes time. And we're not in a rush. I mean, we are, but we call it sin in this way, in this context. I call that sin. And I'm not talking every day. I'm talking in general, right? This is a general sermon. If you want to get specific, we'll talk about it. But in general, I am not in a hurry on the Lord's Day. It's the Lord's Day. So long as I'm pursuing holiness. We have a plan to pursue holiness, and it's to spend some time together, to take time to be holy, to pray, to fellowship, to break bread, to be in the Word. What are you so busy about? Oh, I gotta... I'm in the rat race. And Sunday is the day I get caught up in the rat race. Wrong answer. Everybody wants to buy a puppy from me on Sunday. We sell some puppies. You can't come today. Why can't I come today? You can come any day of the week, but Sunday. Why? Because it's the Lord's Day. Oh, my wife's at home. She could do it. No. Can't sell them Sunday, can't sell them at all. Right? Take time to be holy. That we get to have a day to be holy as unto the Lord. We're not in a hurry. I'm not in a hurry. Take time to be holy. You may have something going on. I'm not... Right? The Super Bowl is once a year. We have... Take time to be holy. Now listen. I'm going to go to Acts 20. They had their meeting all night long. Right? When I got out of America, one of the greatest paradigm shifts for me was when I got out of America, when I was in Romania, when I was in Russia, when I was in Northern Africa, the Ukraine. I saw the churches there, and I realized these people were not in a hurry on Sunday. And I was blown away. Man, the service is over, and they're just fellowshipping, and they're singing, and their kids were with them. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm a young 20-something in college, right? I'm like, what in the world is cultural and what in the world is biblical? Because I think my faith is wrapped up in a lot of American culture. And I want to see the biblical principles here. And this is about the same time I'm learning to say, take time to be holy. And I'm being convicted, love not the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And I realize, I love the world. I could hardly sing that song. It was so slow, I would about fall over on myself. I like to sing fast. I like to sing the Psalms fast. I'm in the Psalter. My wife's like, why are you singing the Psalter so fast? Because I can get more done that way. Take time to be holy. I had a paradigm shift on some of my missions trips. It was a great experience for me. Of course, I appreciated coming back to America too, when there was a pattern of time, when there was some orientation to that. So if you know me, I'm kind of caught in the middle in time. That's another sermon. But take time to be holy. I do take time to be holy in my life. I don't have time to do everything, but I do take time to be holy. Because if we don't take time to be holy, we undo everything. Why? Because God is holy. Take time to be holy. As a family, as a church, as a pattern. The Bible has a lot to say about time and holiness. The special days, the holy days, which are the holidays, right? We have the festivals. We have Passover, Unleavened Bread, Pentecost, the Day of Atonement. All these things link time and holiness together. You should do no work on them. You want to do your vocations on those days, right? Why? Because they were holy days. They were set aside for something specific. Now we say, but I don't have time to do that. I can't take time for that. Our economy is not geared around that. So we need to work on these things. We need to pray through these things. But we also need to remember that God has planned for His people to come together to take time to be holy. The basis of this is the Lord's Day. But it builds from there. I think that the Day of Atonement, as I study Leviticus 16, Leviticus 23, on the Day of Atonement, you shall afflict your souls in it, you shall do no work. There's a connection with the Passover, a holy day, and no work. So this Friday, we have a Good Friday service. Now, as I was growing up, Good Friday services were at 12 as a reflection of the Lord hanging on the cross. And everything was shut down in Catholic Erie, Pennsylvania. And so, I remember the banks would close early or not at all. They wouldn't be open at all. So our culture, once respected, take time to be holy. It's a holy day. We don't work on those days. So it's more challenging for us today. Your master says you have to come, right? So we move our service to 6. I see that's a compromise. It's a compromise because the church has not driven culture. The culture is driving the church in relation to time. And tying that economics. You have to have a biblical view of economics. And that's a long-term perspective, isn't it? It doesn't happen overnight. Economics is a big part of that. But we do have time to be holy. So we move it to 6. I pray one day, maybe our grandchildren can bring it back to 12. And everyone will be there. Or at least most people. Take time to be holy. If you can do it, I'd say don't work on Good Friday. Out of the principle of observing the Day of Atonement. If they were to work on the Day of Atonement, how much more should we set aside the day to remember the death of Christ? And you say, yeah, well, we remember that every day. Yeah, well, they remembered the sacrifices every day too. They had the morning and evening sacrifice every day. But there was a Day of Atonement they set aside to remember that. Our festivals and things are to remember, right? We remember the resurrection every day, but the Good Friday resurrection we put as a special day, the Advent, a special time. We want to have time. We want the church. The principle here is the church should direct the schedule. At some level, the church should direct the time of how the community comes together to worship. Now, we're not bound by the Old Testament regulations. We're not to judge each other and get into that. And there's a movement that it says we must go back to the types and shadows. No, we're not. We're not commanded to go back to the types and shadows. And actually, we're to remember them, right? But we're not commanded. There's freedom there. So, but in freedom, how do we use that? Not to sin. We want to see this in a New Testament perspective. In what I mean by that is, in a New Covenant perspective, of what they meant in a completed perspective. And so the church throughout the centuries has developed traditions that would reflect the work of Jesus Christ and the conquering of paganism and their wrong view of time. That's what we're doing here. And that one application is our Good Friday celebration this Friday. Does that make sense? One of that application is the Old Testament says, I want all your males, the men, have to appear before the temple 3 times a year. We say, we want all the men to appear at a prayer dance 3 days out of the year. So there's a principle there. And I know there's problems and barriers, but that, you see what we're saying, what I'm saying, why we're trying to do this? Get away and pray in a New Testament context. That's the principle. Why don't the women go? Well, because the Bible says the men had to be there. Women can do prayer things too. But the men have got to do this. So we focus on the men. And we're trying to reverse the feminism on purpose, as the Bible sets those priorities. Take time to be holy, special days. And let's not forget the Hebrews 3:12. Because I think this really gives a lot of power to the New Testament church. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief, departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We know they met together daily. They went house to house. So let's not forget the makeup of the community gathering together to set aside days and time to be holy. God knows where you're at. God knows your individual challenges and differences. But if it's not scheduled, it's not planned, it's not going to happen. We must take time to be holy, to prioritize the right things. And we start with, daily will I seek Him. Daily will I love my brothers. Right? Daily will I seek Him as an individual, in my family context, and with my brothers and sisters. And that follows a 1 in 7 pattern on a Lord's Day. You will not have success in your life if you reject the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of some. It's essential. As much as it is together to build community in the family of God, in the family of your household, and before the triune God as you go before Him alone. So we want to seek Him with our time. We want to seek Him all the day long. We want everyone to seek God. We have responsibility over. And we want to seek Him everywhere, all the time. Isaiah, a familiar passage, in Isaiah chapter 6. I'll make my comments brief here, to be sensitive to the time. Isaiah 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face, with 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." That means there's nowhere in God's earth that you should not be worshiping the holy, holy, holy God. If the whole earth is filled with His glory, we should be seeing the glory of God in all of the earth as the heavens declare the glory of God. And there's nowhere you can go. Psalm 139, where can I go from Your Spirit? Nowhere. Where can I go that You are not there? Nowhere. So we're worshiping God, being holy like God, glorifying God all the time with everyone in all the places that God has sent us. And those who will not worship God, we share the gospel of Jesus Christ with. We don't stop worshiping in their presence. We worship the Lord because the whole earth is filled of His glory. Father, we thank You for Your words. Father, we ask that You would teach us and help us to take time to be holy as You are holy. In Christ's name, amen.